some Maranokomos which are appropriate for the Manmatanto Roseno, and I thought it might be interesting to begin with a statement by the Sefer HaChinuch in his Hakdomo. And we will see that that will lead us to a number of quite interesting observations. Says the Sefer HaChinuch as follows, Ho'emes ha'borur b'min ho'enushi, the most evident truth amongst people, humashi hiskima olav da'as rov b'nei yodom sheba olam, is a matter to which the majority of people in the world agree on. Ukvar hiskima da'as kulam, and as a result of this, it has been accepted as an axiom in the world, leha'amid eidus anoshim, that we are prepared to accept as true items which are brought to our attention by other people. The more witnesses there are for a particular matter, the more it will become verified in the eyes of those who hear it. But if there are only a few people who testify to a certain matter, then as you can appreciate, people who are medakdek will be most unwilling to accept this particular testimony because it only comes from a few people. And bearing this in mind, namely, that what people agree on, the idea that people give testimony is an adequate way in which to be informed of certain truths, for the same reason, people have agreed, lekabel mipi avoseim uzekeneihem, people have agreed to accept what they hear from their parents and from their grandparents when they relate to them what took place in their lifetime or in the lifetime of their parents. The ain sofik, and likewise there is no doubt, ki bihiyos ha'ovos hame'idim ravim, if indeed the parents who give over this testimony are indeed many in number, and if the events which they are relating also took place in front of a multitude, then there is absolutely no question that this particular matter which they relate will become confirmed in the ears of those who hear them. Al-Kain, bearing all this in mind, that the testimony of the many is the most compelling, and we know that testimony has become an axiomatic part of our lives, and we know likewise that parents give over things to their children, and children take their testimony also in that vein. The more parents there are who tell their children, the more people were present at the time when the event took place, the more this particular item becomes confirmed in the ears of those who hear. That being the case, Al-Kain, Kishirotza ho'elokim lo seiz Torah le'amo Yisrael, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give the Torah to his people Israel, nisono, he gave it, le'enei sheish me'os elef anoshim gedolim levad taf venoshim rabim. He gave it in the presence of 600,000 adult males, besides women and children. Lihiyos kulam edim ne'emonim al hadvarim, so that each of those 600,000 males and a corresponding number of women and children, they become automatically witnesses to this event. Furthermore, as you can appreciate, this is not an ordinary event to the extent that what you see and what you hear can be perceived with the ordinary senses, as it were. So therefore it was necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to elevate B'nai Yisrael to a standard where they would be able to perceive things as they were actually taking place. So therefore, the Chinuch goes on to say, Gam leman tihiyeh ha'edus yoser chazok v'ne'emon, in order that their testimony should be even more confirmed in their minds, Zochu kulam lemalas hanevuah. Each and every one of those who was at Har Sinai was zochet to the madrega of nevuah. Why? Lefi she'ein bamesh yivodah mitzad hanevuah nofeil sofek liyolam. Because what you perceive through prophecy is as it were, a reception of such clarity that there cannot be the slightest doubt in your mind as to what it is that you are witnessing. That is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant when he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Bavur yishma ha'om bedabri imoch ve'gam b'choy yaminu liyolom. What I am going to do now is to come to the Bnei Yisrael, hineh orechi bo elecho b'yaf e'onon, and the purpose of my coming in that way is so that it will be possible for the entire people to perceive for a few moments what you will perceive over a period of years, so that there will be no doubt in their mind as to exactly what it is that they are witnessing. Kolomar, that is to say, Heim uvenehem liolam yaminu v'cho uvenivu osecho. Why? Ki oz yedu yedion emono, because they will perceive through prophecy the truth. Ki yedaber Elokim es ha'odom v'chai v'shekol nivu osecho emes. So says the Sefer HaChinuch, in order that there should not be the slightest doubt in any of their minds, it was given in front of a multitude of people, millions of people, and all of them were elevated to the Madriga of Nevuah, so that there is no doubt in their minds as to what it is that they are perceiving. Is the Heim Sherahu B'yeinehem. So therefore, regarding that generation who saw with their own eyes, Vayedu Hadova Yediyo Amisis, and they perceived whatever it is that they perceived with a truthful knowledge, She'ein Livnei Odom Emes Chozok Yesu Mizeh, and they perceived it in such a way that it could not have been more clear. What did they do? He'idu Livneim Asher Yoldu Achleichein. They then told it on to the next generation. Kichol Divrei HaTorah Asher Kiblu Al Yedei Moshe Mibeis Bereishis Ad Lamed Liene Chol Yisroel Emes Uborur Beli Shum Sofek Ba'olam. They then went on and related to their children that whatever they had seen, they gave over, and they had perceived it with the greatest clarity. Uvenehem heyidu livnehem gam kein, and their children told it over to their children. Uvenehem livnehem adenu, and their children to their children up to the present generation. Nimseis, says the Sefer HaChinuch, Torosenu biyadenu, the Torah that we have in our hands is Toras Emes. It is a Torah of truth. Mipi sheish me'os elef edim ne'emonim, and we have 600,000 faithful and true witnesses. Shehu cheshbon hakol el kol deyos b'nei odom. It's a reference to a Gemara in Brachos that 600,000 represents the maximum number of opinions that there can be on a certain topic. Milavad taf benoshi. So therefore, what we have at the moment is as follows: we have an observation of the Sefer HaChinuch. Two things. Number one, why it is that the Torah was given in front of a large gathering? Because that answers an interesting question. Why wasn't the Torah given bizmalo avos? Hold shaila. But if you say that the whole purpose of delaying is so that the Torah could be given bifnei avo edo in the presence of 600,000 adult males apart from, etc., etc. So here you have a gathering of people that you cannot dismiss. One person, two people, as the Sefer HaChinuch says, when there are few witnesses to an event, and then as time goes on, etc., etc., one can cast aspersions and doubt as to what really happened. But when you're speaking about an event which was in the presence of so many millions of people, that in itself, says the Sefer HaChinuch, is the most compelling reason to accept whatever they tell us as being the truth. Apart from which, they did not merely see it with human eyes, as it were, but they were given the gift of Nevuah so that their perception could be of a clarity which left absolutely no doubt in their minds as to exactly what was taking place. Now, there are a number of consequences which come from this. The idea that it was given in front of 600,000 people, and I came across a most fascinating, what I would call a PS to this, in the writings of the Malbim. Now the Malbim has a number of essays where he extends some thoughts that he develops in the HaTorah HaMitzvah, and this is one of these, as it were, addenda. And the Malbim writes as follows. Rotzo Hashem Shetinasein HaTorah Bepirsum Godu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is desirous that the Torah should be given with the greatest publicity, Uveribui Otsum Shel Shishim Ribui, with a gathering of 600,000. Veheim Hinchilu HaKabolo Hazos Ashero B'yeneihem, and they were the ones who have passed on the tradition of what they saw, Livnehem Achareihem Lidor Acharon, to their children after them, to the next generation. Fine? So far, Sefer HaChinuch. Now comes Malbim. V'al kein, and that being the case, kol mi sheyokum leimar shehu shaliach min Hashem litein Torah la'om, if there will, in the future, in any century after the giving of the Torah, if a person will come and say, I am an emissary from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I have been empowered to give you a new Torah, Noshiv Elov, we will answer him and say, Torah Shaloti Nosein Me Esu Elokim Befirusum Godol Kazeh Eino Elokim. Torah which you will not be prepared to give in the presence of 600,000 people, it's no Torah. Furthermore, V'chol Shekein Kishebo Levatel HaTorah HaNesuna Mimoshe. And how much more so if someone comes and says that they want to annul or cancel out Torah which was given to us by Moshe? Sheyoshivu lo, they will answer him, Shetzorich sheyisroeh Hashem biyatzmo lifnei shishim ribui, bepirsum gadol kemo shehiskala b'yeshnis inoth. We will say to him, the only type of Torah that we recognize is the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears in order to give it to a minimum of 600,000. You say HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to you and gave you a new Torah. That's no good. The definition of Torah is HaPesha Osar HaPesha Hitir. If you want to cancel, it's got to be under the identical circumstances that the original Torah was given. And the original Torah was given, says Malbim, agreeing with Sefer HaChinuch, so that there should be no doubt as to exactly what was going on. That Torah cannot be repudiated, that Torah cannot be rescinded, except under exactly the same circumstances. Because even if we are to assume that a person is capable of receiving prophecy, which we don't dispute, but nevertheless, that type of prophecy, yesh cheshash v'sofek b'dvorov, afilu b'doro, the culture came b'doro's haboy. So therefore, says the Malbim, and this is a most interesting P.S., that the Pirsum Godol is not only to convince us of the truth of what it is that we have received, but also to ensure us that whenever someone will come along and say that he has received orders from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to discontinue the Torah, that the old is being replaced by the new, then we answer him and say that it's got to be done under identical circumstances. Interestingly enough, Rabbi Yaakov Emden even went further. When Swil Havdil, somebody came and said that the old now has been pushed aside and we now welcome the new. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, what you've got to do, my friend, is you've got to get 600,000 male Jews and bring them to Har Sinai, and they've got to hand the Torah back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Can't be done under any other circumstances. HaPesh Osir HaPesh Hid, Kibolo Kapol. So this is again another aspect of the Pirsum Godu. And not only does it have an effect for the Torah Shebichtav, but also has an enormous consequence for Torah Shebaal Peh. And here I quote you a Chasam Sofer in Chelek Yoledei in Simen Shin Nun Vav. Says the Chasam Sofer as follows, and you'll see how all is fitting into the same style. Nira li kishigon. It appears to me as an act of lunacy. Misha Yomar, if a person comes along and says, you know what happened? Sheba Echad Mehadolos, one of the generations long, long after Sinai, Kom Echad, a fellow got up one morning, Vihimtsi Lahaniyachtir, and he had an inspiration that he was going to introduce a new mitzvah called Tefillin. Vihyetse Bekeren Echad al Mitzvah, he'll go out with what looks like a horn on his head. They hit a hololom lomar, and he will start fadraying the people at cup to say, Zehu totofos ha'omu bakro. This is the hoyu the totofos b'nelecho that the posuk means. So there are people who say, nah, Well, there's a Torah on Sinai, but nothing like we have today. What we have today is the result of Echveis. One or two people got up in the morning and decided that they were going to invent this, and they were going to interpret the Torah possibly this way. That's like an Irish kite. Look, you're dealing with Jews. Fellow will come along and say, no, you know what this is? This is the Torah, folks. You know what happened? Hello, Yirgamu, Hawam. The people will stone him. For Yomru, they'll say to him, Zelo Shomanu, Veloro, Ilumi, Abusero, Meyomam, Dino, and Harsinai. How can you come along now and tell us what it is? We've never seen this since the day we stood on Mount Sinai. The Iman of Moshe Rabbeinu, all of Hashem, the Yachro, the Hoshua, the Nun, who's the Canaan? Who's the William? He's the Chmiyam, Alili, Vole, Chadish, Dover. Who would have the chutzpah to come along and to say, you know what it is? I've suddenly realized what the Totopos mean in the year 1604. They're going to let it get away with it. And further, the Kain Be'inyan Sukkah, the Dalet Minim, the Chol Maisa Korbanos. All these were an invention of the mind long, long after Sinai, says the Chasam Sofer. Mi Yacholi Shanos Hadover Hanoi B'chol Yom V'Yom. Who is the person who has the ability to say to the people, change the way you've been interpreting these phrases and these words and these commandments? The only proof, the only thing that makes sense in regard to these mitzvos is that the way we perform them today is the way they were performed generation, 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 going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So here we have, as I say, the Chut HaMeshulosh. The Sefer HaChinuch who explains the purpose of Pirsum Gadol in order that there should not be a shadow of doubt in our minds as to exactly what it is that happened and where the Torah comes from. The Malbim then extends it by saying, not only should there be no doubt in our minds as to where the Torah came from because we have the testimony of so many hundreds of thousands of people, but by the same token, as the Torah came to us amidst such numbers, we are not allowed to accept anything else in place of Torah unless it comes to us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the presence of an equal number. And then third, the idea that the Torah was given by Pirsum Gadol means that we were dealing with a people who obviously when they received the Torah, received interpretations of that Torah, and we are forced to insist, says the Chasam Sofer, that the interpretations which we received on Har Sinai are the ones which we keep today, because nobody would get away with coming along at a later date and suggesting that the interpretations that we received then are wrong, and he would now like to suggest new interpretations. And as you can appreciate, there are undertones in all that is going on here. I mean, Chasam Sofer and Malbim are not unmindful of those who would like to misinterpret and to reinterpret the Torah according to their own designs. And these are comments which are well worth keeping in mind. Just for the sake of completeness, I just noted a little Ramban here. And there's something which is quite important. There is, of course, as you know, and that's what we've been referring to all the time, although we haven't actually spelt it out, there is a commandment, according to the Ramban, there is a negative commandment not to forget what happened on Har Sinai, and there is a positive commandment to pass it on to our children and our children's children, and of course it fits in with the themes which we have been pursuing up to now. There is an interesting PS, however, from the Ramban. V'sodia kol ha'dvorim asheru einecha b'ma'amad ha'nichpot ha'hu levonecha v'levenei vonecha v'ad olam. That's the mitzvah say. We have a commandment to pass on to future generations everything that we saw on Har Sinai. Why? Well, the view which we had a moment or two ago was to convince us of the authenticity of Torah. And indeed the Ramban says that very reason in his addenda to the Sefer HaMitzvot of the Rambam. But here the Ramban adds another dimension as to why we should mention it. Upireish hatam. The reason why we should give it over to our children is Ki Hashem Oso Hamamad Hahu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that extraordinary event of Har Sinai. You know why? You could have given the Torah in a much more simplified version without what we would call in other circles pomp and circumstance, without the kolos, without the varakim, without the lapidesh. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it in that way? Says the Ramban, Kadesh Tilmadu Liyiroo Sokol Hayomim. in order to fill us with the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a frightening, terrifying experience. On the contrary, the Gemara says, quoting the Pasuk, Yorav Shokta, the world at one and the same time was so in awe that the world, as it were, stopped for a moment. One cannot even begin to imagine what it is that happened there. And that was, says the Ramban, in order to instill in us an awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because at that moment we caught a small glimpse of what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. V'espeneichem tilamdun l'doros olam. You've got to teach your generation and generation to generation. Tell them about this event so that they will also get some pakad. They will get some hasoga, some understanding of what Yiras Hashem is. Imkein asu atem kocha v'yal tishkechu oso. So a most fascinating comment by the Ramban, that another purpose of relating the Ma'amad Har Sinai, apart from confirming the authenticity of Torah, is in order that we should, as it were, gain some insight into what is Yiras Hashem. Now we leave the rarefied world of the Sefer HaChinuch and Malbim and Chasam Sofer, and we come now more into the Lithuanian world. And here we have a most wonderful, wonderful essay by Rav Arden Kotler Zatzal. Rav Arden, of course, one of the Gedolim of generations past, and incidentally, although it has nothing to do with anything, also a cousin of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal. Both of them came to Slabodka at the same time. They were very, very inseparable. Now, Rav Arden, of course, I don't need to tell you, is one of the Gedoli Hadol of past generations, and he writes as follows. V'hine lo osaso ha-toro zichronos b'maaseh le-ma'amad har-sinai. The Torah has not given us one practical commandment to remember the moment we stood at har-sinai. Oh yes, you've got to tell it on to your children. Don't forget, relate it, but no mitzvah ma'asis. V'afilu chag ha-shavuos lo nizkar ba-torah mefurish shehuza man matanto lasenu. And Shavuos itself is not mentioned in the Torah as being associated with zaman matanto lasenu. It's chag ha-bikurim. U'le-geulas mitzrayim. And compare that with the geula from Egypt. Ososo ha-torah zichronos rabim miyod. The Torah has given us an endless number of practical mitzvahs. Chagamatzos, mitzvahs bechor, tefillin, uviyot kamo mitzvahs. V'zeh nimsa belimud uvamaisa miyetzias mitzrayim ad hayom. And all these mitzvahs have come down to us at the present time. V'lomo lo ososo ha-Torah zichronus l'mam ad har Sinai. Why did the Torah not make a practical way of remembering what took place at har Sinai? V'harei mam ad har Sinai shehoyo li'enei kolohom hu yesod lo emuna. It's not like the Ma'amad Har Sinai is not an event worthy of commemoration. It's the basis of our whole faith. As the Rambam writes in the Egelis Taimon, the Chei Kosav Horamban, the Krod of Ahodatum, Kizehu Yesod, Hu Emuna, the Torah of Ashamayim. And here you have one of the pillars on which the Jewish world rests, the divine origin of the Torah, Torah of Ashamayim, Torah of Sinai. And not one solitary, practical mitzvah in order to remember that awesome day. That's got to be a major kasha. The answer is even more extraordinary. V'nire hatam. I would like to suggest the reason is as follows. Tibbegu'ulas mitzrayim, because in regards to the deliverance from Egypt, kol ho'osos v'hamufsim, heim ma'asim shahoyuos. What we are commemorating are events which took place in the past. V'tzorich zichronos kedei lezochrom ulahatirom ashiyihiyu ki'ilu ro'inu b'yeneinu. What are we supposed to do on Pesach? We're supposed to remember events which took place once in our history. Once off. Only once. And what we are obliged to do on the night of Pesach is, as much as we can, to contemporize, to try and bring that event which took place in a one-off, to bring it down to us in our generation. Avol inyan mamad har Sinai eino tzorich zikor. But what took place on Har Sinai does not need to have a mitzvah encouraging us to remember what took place there. Shaharei hakol munach batorah atzma. Because everything is in the written text of the Torah. Kol hagiluyim hanoroyim shel matan Torah nimtsoyim batorah. You believe this? Anything that the Bnei Yisrael experienced those many thousands of years ago, a Jew opens the Sefer Torah and reads the Torah, Torah Lishma, and he can have the same revelations in his shtiebel, in his room, in his yeshiva, as the Bnei Yisrael had when they stood surrounding Harsin. V'chol sodos maise bereshis umaise merkava genuzim batorah. Everything, every secret of the universe is hidden in that text. Uchemam olam, as the rabbis themselves say, minayin yovo yecheskel v'yegale sisle merkava. From where will Yecheskel know the various secrets to reveal? And the Gemara answers, from the Torah. And if this is confirmed by what it says in the regard to Matan Torah, that the voice that came out from Har Sinai, Kol Godol Velo Yosof, it was a great voice, Velo Yosof, Vitirgeim Unkelis Velo Posak. The emanations from Har Sinai have not stopped to this day. And whereas you may recall many months ago, we brought a Toras Chaim on this particular Unkelis, which is quoted by Rashi. The Toras Chaim says, the voice that has not ceased is the emanation of prophecy which comes to those people and sit and learn. Says the Baden Kotler, no sir. The Kol Godol Velo Yosof means, from the moment that Kodesh Baruch Hu put the Torah into writing, the Torah itself is HaKodesh Baruch Hu's revealed word, and that in the Torah itself, one can obtain every insight and every awe-inspiring moment that Bnei Yisrael perceived at Har Sinai. Hare demunach v'Torah ha-gol godol shel matan Torah. The kol godol of matan Torah is residing in the text of the Torah itself. V'ha-kadmonim shehisigu ha-kol v'protius, motzu ha-kol v'Torah. And when Chazal tell us of the great people who found every knowledge, every wisdom, they found it in the Torah. A reference to the Ramban's Hakdama LeSefer Bereishis, that King Solomon was the wisest of all men. Where did he get his wisdom from? From the Torah. V'yodua ma'ashehisik ha'groz atzal niflo'os gedolos ba'Torah. And even in our own generation, coming near to our time, is it not well known the niflo'os that the Gaon perceived in Torah, the hero, and he was able to show shekol haTorah shebaal peh v'chol divrei Chazal v'chol hanistoros hakol mefurish b'Torah. The Gaon was able to say with the greatest certitude that whatever is happening in the world, whatever will happen in the world, everything is merumas in Torah. It's all there. There's nothing that is not there. The Anochi of the Asiris Adibro, say Chazal, is Rosh HaTevis. Ano nafsho kosvo v'yevo. I have written down my soul, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The soul of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the Torah. It's not a book. It's a universe. When the Gaon says, the Maimer in Brachos Nishkod al Dalsei Torah, to be diligent by the doors of Torah, people used to take that to mean to be eager at the doors of the yeshivas, at the doors of Torah, says the Gaon, not at all. The Gaon says, Dalsei Torah means every letter of the Torah is a door. It looks to you like a letter. Open it, and you find an expanse that you never dreamt of before. Nishkod al Dalsei Torah. The Gaon says that in a dream, Eliyahu HaNavi came to him and told him how many hundreds, how many thousands of interpretations of a pasuk, and he awoke and forgot them all, except for a number. It's all there. And how everything in Torah confirms and extends our knowledge.
and says about Uve Tehillim, and in Tehillim, Kosuv, it's written, Hashomayim is saddened for the Kehil Masiyot of Magid Rokia. The Pedic in Tehillim opens with extolling the grandeur of nature. And then a few psukim later on, it changes from nature to Torah. Torah is Hashem Tamima, the Kuli Hashem Yeshorim, Mitzvah Hashem Boro. What's the connection? Ubi Er Horan Bidrosho Sov. And the Ran explains in his droshes, Shahabri or Harei Me'idu Al Tvod Hashem Yisborach. No one will deny that nature and the world as we see it, the physical universe, gives adequate testimony to the glory of our Kodesh Baruch Hu. You should know, Ach Batorah Misgala Kvod Hashem Od Yoseh. But in the Torah you have more than you can find in nature. As much as you find the covenant of Hashem displayed in the beauty and grandeur of the physical universe, if you learn Torah Lishma and learn Torah with a true intensity, all that is revealed in nature is revealed in Torah and more. V'chol hadas v'ha'akoro be'emuna u'shmiras ha'mitzos ha'kol toloi be'limud ha'tor. You only commemorate past events, says Rabban. Revelation is not a past event. Revelation is something which is possible every single day of every single month of every single year. You don't need to commemorate it. Commemorating it, on the contrary, would give a lie. To commemorate would imply that it happened once and cannot happen again. On the contrary, not only can it happen again, but it does happen again. And the Gedolim are people who give adequate testimony to the fact that it takes place every moment that they study the Torah with the correct perception and intensity. The Torah with correct perception and intensity. So these are some of the themes in regards to mitzvos masios. And now we proceed on to something else. Everybody is aware of the fact that B'nai Yisroel made a memorable statement at Har Sinai. Nase v'nishma. However, from a halachic point of view, it is a very, very problematical statement. And we'll explain. Beis Halevi. And again, a yesod emerges. These are all yesodos. They're not sermonic material. They are yesodos. V'hine yodua das Rambam. I draw your attention, says the Beis Halevi, to the opinion of the Rambam. Dehamechayev atzmo bedovor she'eno kotzuv lo chal olov hachiyuv v'hashivut klal. The Rambam says quite categorically as a halachic statement, if an individual will accept upon himself an obligation which is open-ended and has no limit, lo chal olov hachiyuv v'hashivut klal, that obligation is not chal. It doesn't devolve on him. You can only accept an obligation which is bound, which is limited. You cannot accept upon yourself an obligation which is infinite. At this particular moment in time, we don't know what its dimensions are. For instance, if a person will make a kinyan, obliging himself to do everything that his chavah will ask him to do, make a statement of that nature, lo chalal avachil. No, the obligation is not valid. Tivan de be'es hakabara, because at a time when he was accepting, lo yoda mayom lo peloni, he didn't know what he was going to tell him to do. You cannot accept, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. From a halachic point of view, it's narishka. It just doesn't have any meaning whatsoever. Him kain, if that is so, Yisroel shekiblu al atzmo hachiyuv. The Jewish people who accepted upon themselves obligations, kodim sheyodu haprotim, before they knew what their obligations involved, lichura heich chal aleim achil. In which case, we have to ask a shayla, how did the obligation devolve on them? At the time when they said Nasa v'nishma, they hadn't a clue. He said, I've seen it in another sefer, but I forget what the name of the sefer is. Ubefrat al tredish about peh, shehub shehi below sof, ukemavur heich yochal achil. All right, Taylor Shabbat, you can say, has a beginning and an end. But Asus, Lehina Chol Yisroel. Oh, but the rabbi's been busy since then. Hundreds, thousands of more obligations. And it continues on to this day. So what's this business with Nasa and Ishma?
The answer is, Kvabi Arnu Besefer Beis Halevin.
That's a yesod, my friends, a basic yesod.
The answer is, as I have explained in the Tshuva Beis Halevin, De af al gav da hamakabel olov lasos kolmar sheyoma ploni lo chalachil. Despite the fact that I have indicated to you in the words of the Rambam that a person will say, I oblige myself to do whatever you will tell me to do, that chiyuv is not chal. Mikol mokom hare yochol kol echad limkor es atzmo le'eved lechavero o lepoel v'harihu mechayev atzmo lasos kolmar sheyoma lo adono.
There is a way.
I can sell myself as a slave to you. And once I am your slave, there is just absolutely nothing that I can that I am not permitted to do for you. And selling myself into slavery to you is a valid halachic act. A Hebrew slave can sell himself, not only sold by the basin, can sell himself into slavery. And if I sell myself into slavery, then I bind myself to keep whatever it is my master will ask me to do as long as I am in his service. And there the idea that it's open-ended is of no relevance. Because once I'm sold into servitude, that's it. Or if I say to a person, I am willing to sign up as your poel, as your worker, your hired laborer. Hired laborer is now in my employ. I can tell him to do whatever I want him to do. So whereas I cannot say to a person, I obligate myself now as a free man to do whatever you will tell me in the future, that's nonsense. Nevertheless, I can say to an individual, I am willing to sell myself to you as a slave, and with that I am bound to do whatever you will tell me to do.
Rak ha-chiyuv, mikol mokum harei kol echad limkor es atzmo le'eved lechavero o lepoel v'harei hu mechayev le'atzmo la'asos kol ma sheyom lo adono.
Rak ha-chiyuv bozehu, poshut. The difference is the following. The hamechayev atzmo, a person who obligates himself to say whatever you tell me to do, I will do, is ikur hakabola hu hachiyuv. What he actually is accepting about himself is obligations. Avol etzem gufo lo hikne lechaviro, but he didn't sell his body to his friend. And the obligation, since they are unlimited, that means he can't obligate himself in that way. But if a person who sells himself to another as a slave, he doesn't accept upon himself any obligation at all. All he does is he says, I'm selling myself to you. And if he does it that way, then the kinyan, the acquisition of this person as a slave, is correct, and he will be obligated to do whatever his master will tell him subsequently to do.
Ve'kivon de haguf naase shel horav.
And now, in the case where he has sold himself as a slave, his body now belongs to his master. Harei memele mechuyev la'asos kol ma sheyomer horav. Then he will be obligated to do whatever his master tells him subsequently. Vizeh poshut. So this brings us now to an appreciation of what happened when the Bnei Yisrael said Naaseh v'nishma. U'mishum hachi chal hakabola al Yisrael. That is why the acceptance of Naaseh v'nishma worked with Bnei Yisrael at Matan Torah. You know why? Deheim lo kiblu al atzmom ha-Torah begeder chiyuv v'shibud. Because they did not accept the Torah as obligations. Because if that would have been the case, since they didn't know what obligations there were, and which is open-ended, to accept obligations of that order is invalid. What did they do, rather? Rak hiknu gufom lahatura v'lavodoso yispor. What they did was, they said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to put it in the Yiddish, mir zanen fakeit zudem teira. We are now sold in servitude to you. And as a result of the fact that we sell ourselves to you, we become consequently bound to keep whatever it is that you shall order us to do, past, present, and future. Says the Beis Halevi, V'zehu she'omer ha'kosov. That is what the pasuk means when it says, V'atoyim shmo'atish v'mekoli, u'shemartem es berisi, and you shall guard my covenant, which we have explained in the previous paragraph, refers to the Torah Shebaal Peh. And in regards to Torah Shebaal Peh, v'hi ein lo kitzvah, it doesn't have any fixed measure.
So how can it be?
The explanation comes in the next words. Atem vihiyisem li segula mikol huamim, on which the Mechilta says, vihiyisem li segula, says the Mechilta, shetihiyu kinu yim li. You are going to become sold to me. And as a result of the fact that you are now sold to me, v'oskim ha-Torah, sheyihiyeli bochem kinyan ha-guf lo chiyuv greino. So, Naase v'nishma does not mean we will do and we will hear. Naase v'nishma in its essence is not an acceptance of obligations at all. It is not, I repeat, an acceptance of obligations. We don't obligate ourselves to keep. We say to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, we are now giving ourselves to you. Kinuyim li. You are now sold to me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As a result of this, it is possible for me now to obligate you with whatsoever I will desire, past, present, and future. V'zehu ha-hevdel sheyesh ben Yisrael uvein b'nei Noach. Now this is a classic observation. And this will point to a basic difference between the Jew and the non-Jew. Not only because the Ben Noach only has Sheva Mitzvahs and we have 613, but in the very relationship of the Yisrael to the Tariag and the Ben Noach to the Sheva Mitzvahs, there is a different relationship. Why? Debi B'nei Noach, because in regards to B'nei Noach, Gam Bahane Sheva Mitzvahs Shemechuyovim Bohem, even in those seven commandments that they are obligated to keep, Einom Aleihem Ela Begeder Chiyu. They can only be called obligations. Sheheim chayovim lekayimom. They are duty bound to keep them, but velo shegufom konui lehamitzvos. But they are not sold to become, as it were, the property of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that he can place upon them the Sheva Mitzvos. Now, I agree to keep number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and that's it. Avol Yisrael, but in regards to Bnei Yisrael, hiknu gufom laHaTorah. They actually sold their bodies to the service of Torah. V'zehu shemesayim akosav, and that is why the pasuk says, v'heyisem li segula mikol ho'amim. You are kinuyim li. There is no other nation in the world who are sold into my service. Even the mitzvahs that they keep as a result of the fact that they have been commanded, Sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach, but not shetihiyu kinuyim li. Dibe b'china zu yihiyah hevdel b'neichem uvein b'nei noach, gam b'hadvorim shegam heim chayovim b'hem. Tahanishtei b'china sheheim achas lahaino hach shebalteh, v'shekonu gufom latera, hi hanoseles hevdel b'neichem. We are different in two ways from the goyim. There is no question whatsoever that in Torah Shemichsav, as he explained in the previous paragraph, Goyim can also take up a Torah Shemichsav and read it. Torah Shebalpeh they don't have. Lo nichras obris, elo al Torah Shebalpeh. The only item which separates us from the point of view of Torah, the only item which separates us is not Torah Shemichsav, but Torah Shebalpeh. Furthermore, another way in which we are different from the Goyim is the fact that whereas the Goy has accepted obligations in whatever he keeps, we did not accept obligations. We have sold ourselves to the Torah. We have sold ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we have accepted upon ourselves as a result of that servitude to keep whatever will be imposed upon us at the present and in the future. It's a very, very important yisod as to exactly what Naase v'nishma is. Might be appropriate to mention, since we've just mentioned Naase v'nishma, there is another important Beis HaLevi which I'll just mention to you in brief. The Gemara says that when the Bnei Yisrael said Naase v'nishma, the Malchei Ashores came down and offered the Bnei Yisrael crowns, one for Naase and the other for Nishma. And the Beis HaLevi explains what the greatness of Naase v'nishma is. Naase means we will do, Nishma means we will learn. So the Zohar explains it. Why did they not say Nishma v'Naase? Because had they said Nishma v'Naase, says the Beis HaLevi, it would have implied that they are only learning in order to know what to do. That learning in its own right has no intrinsic value. The only importance that you can attach to learning is because if you know what to do, you'll be able to do it. But by putting Naase before Nishma, You are implying that you appreciate that there are two aspects. There is Naaseh, there are the performance of the mitzvos, maaseos, what to do and what not to do. And on top of that, apart from your duty to keep mitzvos, for which you obviously have to have knowledge, there is still a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo of learning Torah. And that, says the Beis Halevi, was the greatness of B'nai Yisrael when they preceded Nishba with Naaseh, indicating that they appreciate that apart from the importance of Torah as enabling you to know what to keep, there is also another element of learning Torah, which is a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. And goes so far as to say the following, that the Gemara tells us in the Dorim elsewhere that the land was lost, shelo beirechu b'Torah techila, because we never made a bracha when we learned Torah. What's so sad about not making a bracha before you learn Torah? What is such a terrible thing about that? Says the Beis Halevi very beautifully. It is well known that whenever you perform an act which in itself is not a mitzvah, but which will enable you to perform a mitzvah, you don't make a bracha. You don't make a bracha when you build a sukkah. The building of sukkah is what we call a hechsher mitzvah. It's only a preparation. It will enable you to perform the mitzvah. But the building of the sukkah in itself is not a mitzvah. Says the Beis Halevi, the B'nai Yisrael at that time didn't make a bracha when they learned Torah, because they thought that learning Torah in itself was not important. It was only a hechsher mitzvah. Because if you know what to do, you'll be able to do the mitzvahs properly. They didn't recognize that the learning of Torah was a mitzvah in its own right. And the Beis Halevi goes so far as to say it's for that reason the B'nai Yisrael were exiled, because they did not give the appropriate chashivus to the learning of Torah. For our final offering this evening, we'll have a look at the Emes L'Yankov from Rabbi Yaakov. And this is a type of theme that I don't normally address myself to, but nevertheless, it is something well worth mentioning. This is a comment which he makes not on Torah, but on Mishnah, in Pirkei Avos. And the Mishnah there is speaking about Shemaiah and Naftalion. And Shemaiah and Naftalion, as we know from the Gemara, they themselves were Geirim, they were converts. And he explains a number of items there, and then his concluding paragraph on that Mishnah reads as follows. V'yagav, and in passing, Roim anachnu mimishnezu, we can see from this Mishnah, Yesod Choshuv Bahashkofas Hayadus, an important principle in the outlook of Jewish Judaism. Ki af al pi sheshmaya v'avtalion geirei tzedek hoyu, because we see that even though Shmaya and Avtalion were geirei tzedek, they were geirim, mikol mokum higiyu lemishros koromos, nevertheless, they achieved the highest positions that Judy could offer them, ki av beistin and nosi yisroi. They reached the pinnacle of achievement amongst our people. How did they do that? The converts. The reason is mishum shehashkofoseinu hi, because our outlook is shekol adam nivra betzelem elokim. Every man is created in the image of God. Chulam heim chavivim etzel hamokom, and all are beloved in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eloch sheb'nei Yisroel, but the only difference is B'nei Yisroel are not superior because of the families they were born into. They are superior shekiblu al atzmom es Torah Hashem u'mitzvosa. They accepted upon themselves to keep the entire Tariag mitzvos. They have therefore a special place close to the heart of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not, I repeat, by virtue of who they are, but by virtue of what they do. They are beloved in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because they have accepted to keep His commandments. And since that is the case, v'lochein, im bo echad meha'umos, if someone from the non-Jewish nations will come, umekabel al atzmo lishmores haTorah, and when I do undertake to keep the Torah, shuv harei hu ki Yisroel gam, he's a full Jew, v'niya chelek meha'am hanivchar, and becomes a part of what is known as the chosen people. V'kan temuna hateshuva, and here we have the reason
Le'elo atonim, to those who maintain, Shadas Yisrael das gizonis, that Judaism is a racist religion, chas v'sholem. Shehem toanim, because they say, that when Jews stand in their synagogues and say, you have chosen us from all peoples, is mare. They understand that to mean as if we are saying, we are saying to our Kodesh Baruch, we are the best. But the truth is not like that. On the contrary. Because they are of the opinion, because if it would be racism, there was no way in which an outsider could be accepted into their ranks. You can't join the club. You're an Aryan or you're not an Aryan. There's no convert to Aryanism. Because that's got to do with the genes. So if it is a true racist philosophy, then nobody from outside can join the ranks of that. Avalonu sovrim, but we are of the opinion. Shemasha onu nivcharnim ikolo umos. We, when we call ourselves chosen amongst all the peoples, who rat mishum sheyesh aleinu mitzvos yaseh. We are chosen to the extent that we have opted into the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves no person better than the ones who keep his command. V'chol mi shemekabel olav ol malchus shomayim behechlet. As a result of which any person from any corner of the world will come and accept upon himself the yoke of the kingdom of heaven completely. Yochol lehitzdareif el amenu. Join the ranks of our people. Uvashem Yisrael who nikra and will be known as a member of Israel. Very, very important. And it's worth our while to know these things. I mean, I don't say we come upon it every day, subtly or otherwise. The fact of the matter is, when we say that we are chosen, again I emphasize, it is not as a result of who we are, but as a result of what we have obligated ourselves to do. It's the Nase V'Nishma that made us into the Yam HaNivcha. And the consequence is, if it is the Nase V'Nishma that made us into the Yam HaNivcha, then it is obvious that any individual throughout the entire world who will come and say likewise, Nase V'Nishma, that person will be included in the ranks of the Jewish people. Let me just conclude with a thought which has always left an indelible impression on my mind, and I must have seen this particular item about 40 years ago. As was mentioned earlier on, Shavuos is not Zaman Matan Torah Seinu at all. It's not as Chag HaBikurim. Hirsch offers the most following beautiful insight. He says, if you look into the history of the generation that came out of Mitzrayim, you will discover that everybody agrees that they went out from Mitzrayim on a Thursday, and whether you agree that it was given on the 6th or the 7th of Sivan, everybody agrees that the Torah was given on Shabbos. That is why, incidentally, for those of you who do not know, that is why our Kiddush on Friday night begins, Asher Kiddushonu v'mitzvosav. That's to remind us that Shabbos was the day on which the Torah was given. So the Torah was given on Shabbos. They went out of Mitzrayim on a Thursday, which means the 15th of Nisan was a Thursday, which means the first night of Sfira was Thursday night, Friday, which means the 50th day of the Yovel, which is Shavuos, was a Friday, the day before Matan. Why do we celebrate the day before Matan Torah and not Matan Torah? And Hirsch answers, I consider to be a masterpiece. Hirsch says, the day when somebody appears in a cloud of glory and says, here's my Torah, that's not a day to celebrate. The day when you realize that without the Torah your life is empty, that's a day worthy of celebration. Heschel in God in Search of Man, I mention him advisedly, a turn of phrase which is spectacular. Heschel says, for the person to whom life is commonplace, the Torah is a problem.
For the person for whom life is a problem, the Torah is the answer. People who go through life, I need a Torah, what do I need a Torah for? I wake up in the morning, I have my meal, I go to work, I come home, I sit in front of the box. What do I need Torah for? What's Torah all about? A person who doesn't perceive that his life without Torah is empty, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'yatzo will say, here's my Torah. Say Kiddush, eat matzah. For what? The day that is worthy of celebration, says Hirsch, is when the individual recognizes. He's counted 7 weeks. He's seen what freedom is like without any direction, without any kibun, and comes to the day before Matan Torah and says, I cannot wait for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to let me into the secret of what life is all about. That's the day worthy of celebration. I think it is an absolute masterpiece. Something well worth thinking of. There are many people for whom Shavuos is incidental, for whom Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is incidental, because for them life is commonplace, and therefore the Torah is a problem. But for those who understand and do look a little more deeply into what is going on in the world and recognize that it cannot be just what we see and what we hear, but there has to be something more elegant, more elevated, for that person the Torah is the answer. The day before is the day to celebrate.